Hello, I'm Angela Anderson, scientific editor for Cell, and today I'm speaking with Dr. Stephen Block of Stanford University about his group's progress towards our understanding of transcription termination in bacteria, published in the March 21st issue of Cell. We know a lot about transcription initiation and elongation, but very little about termination. In prokaryotes, about 50% of transcripts are terminated by specific sequences called intrinsic terminators, which contain a GC-rich hairpin followed by a U-rich tract. Three different models of how the elongation complex becomes destabilized at these terminators have been debated, including hypertranslocation of RNA polymerase along the template, shearing of the RNA-DNA hybrid, or conformational changes in the active site of the polymerase. Using a single-molecule approach, you've now demonstrated that shearing is the predominant mechanism for at least three terminators. Dr. Block, thank you for joining us. Now, could you elaborate on the approach you used and the advantages it offered?
Certainly. The approach we use comes from the new area of single-molecule biophysics. Thanks to the advent of some new technologies, it's possible now to literally investigate the motions of a single molecule in real time under the microscope, and that affords some very special advantages. The technology that we use in our lab involves optical tweezers or optical traps, and we've set up geometries over the last few years which allow us to use optical traps to either pull on the DNA associated with an elongating RNA polymerase molecule or to pull on the RNA that emerges from that same molecule. And we can produce forces that either assist the direction of transcription by pulling on the DNA or retard the direction of transcription by pulling on the opposite of the DNA or try to extract the RNA with force from the enzyme. And by comparing forces in all three of these modalities, we could ask about the mechanical and the DNA sequence elements that trigger the release of DNA and RNA associated with termination.
It seems that termination mechanisms may differ between one terminator and another. Is this surprising, or does it resolve some of the controversy in the field?
Well, actually, I think it resolves a lot of the controversy in the field, although I would be lying if I didn't tell you that the situation will no doubt remain controversial after the publication of our paper. The forward translocation theory that you alluded to before, whereby the enzyme is kind of nudged forward along the template in the same direction it would transcribe by the formation of a hairpin at its rear, seems to hold for at least one of the artificial terminators that was synthesized originally by Jeff Roberts' lab, called the T500 terminator, which resembles a viral terminator. And so we find a lot of evidence in support of forward translocation for that terminator. And, of course, the forward translocation model was based on studies of that terminator, and so what we find is entirely consistent with those studies. However, in looking at two other terminators, one from the histidine operon of E. coli, another from the phage lambda rightward operon, we discover that forward translation doesn't hold up for those. In fact, what happens in those cases is that we think that the formation of the hairpin is essentially pulling on the U-rich tract, which is a little bit slippery, and causing it to shear with respect to the DNA inside and then slip out. And so the data can all be fit with basically the same model in which a little bit of forward translocation, a little bit of shearing, eventually gets the job done. And it's primarily forward translocation for T500 and primarily shearing for these other two.
The folding of an RNA element is generally sensitive to its sequence context, which in turn affects its function. How do you think the surrounding sequence affects the efficiency and possibly even the mechanism of individual terminators?
Oh, that's become a very interesting question. One of the things that emerged in our study, which I think hadn't been appreciated before, is that, of course, we've all known that the hairpin forms co-transcriptionally, that is to say, as the RNA emerges from the enzyme, eventually a self-complementary sequence emerges and the hairpin folds back on itself. But it's generally true, as the RNA is emerging from the enzyme, that every once in a while there will be a little bit of sequence, which, by happenstance, can pair up with other sequence. And so there's actually a little bit of secondary structure that forms in RNAs transiently and weakly upstream of where the hairpin's going to be happening, as on a sort of continuous basis. So when the hairpin tries to fold as it emerges from the enzyme, it's actually competing with preformed secondary structure that's not associated with the hairpin itself, but with adjacent elements in the RNA. And if those structures are sufficiently stable, they will compete with the hairpin and make it less probable the hairpin will form. That will reduce the termination efficiency. One of the things we discovered in this study, which I think hasn't been observed before, is that if you make a piece of DNA which is complementary to those regions that emerge first from the RNA, and you pair them up and take them out of the problem, that the hairpin now can form with greater proclivity because it's no longer competing with that secondary structure. And so we found that we can raise the efficiency of an otherwise weak terminator to become 20-30% better simply by pairing up the upstream competing regions. So this suggests, in light of your question, that not merely the sequence elements associated with the terminator and slippery U region are important, but also the surrounding elements in the RNA have a profound role on the efficiency of termination.
And finally, you found that you could modulate termination efficiency by changing the sequence and strength of the closing base pair of the hairpin in the terminator. Is there evidence that this type of sequence variation is used in nature to control termination efficiency?
Oh, absolutely. Of course, nature is the greatest experimenter of all, and I have no doubt that natural sequences have evolved very carefully to tune their particular properties to give exactly the desired termination efficiency. You know, the phenomenon of polarity, for example, in operons in bacteria is due to failure of certain terminator sequences, and in some cases where real termination is needed very accurately, you might even find a couple of terminators in a row. And so it would seem that nature has really fine-tuned the chromosome to adjust termination to provide just the right levels of this. And of course, this is only one form of gene regulation. The rate at which polymerase starts is carefully tuned. The rate at which it goes is carefully tuned. The rate at which it pauses is carefully tuned. So at virtually every aspect of the game, it turns out there's been a very clever adjustment of all the parameters in order to provide precisely the right levels of gene and gene product.
Thank you for speaking with us today, Dr. Block, and congratulations on this nice story. Please check out the paper by Larson et al. In the March 21st issue of Cell at www.cell.com.